400-verse treatise by Aryadeva. Chapter 10, indicating the meditations for refuting a static impossible self. A static truly existent self, or Atman, as asserted by you Vaisheshikas, internally can be neither female nor male nor hermaphroditic, otherwise you would always have to be reborn as the same gender. When this is so, then it is only out of unknowing naivety that you can think in terms of being a truly existent male self, and so on. And when it is so that none of the elements constituting the body exist as male, female, or hermaphroditic, then how can a self that relies on these externally be truly existently male or female or hermaphroditic? That which is yourself is not myself. Therefore, this object of your self-preoccupation cannot be a truly existent self, because if it were, it would also have to be the object of my self-preoccupation, and this cannot be ascertained to be so. Doesn't the thought of a self arise merely as an imputation on the non-static functional phenomena of one's own aggregate factors of experience? A person, or self, would have to change aspects from rebirth to rebirth in accordance with a change in body and life form. Therefore, it is unreasonable for you to maintain that the self is a different substantial entity from the body and static. It can never happen that something that cannot have contact with anything can be said to incite a functional phenomenon into action. Because of that, the living one, or self, cannot become the agent for causing the body's motion. If it cannot be harmed, how can you think there is any use in causal actions to prevent suffering for a static self? In no respect would you ever need to protect a diamond-hard scepter from woodworms. If your self is static and permanent because it has memories of past lives in which it also considered itself me, well then, from seeing a mole on your body similar to one you had in a previous life, why would your body itself not be static and permanent? And if you say it is a self that possesses the quality of having consciousness that indeed is a knower of previous lives and so on, well then, such a person or self that is not conscious on its own, but then comes to have consciousness as its quality, could not be static. You can see that the living one or self, when it possesses qualities such as happiness and so on, takes on varied aspects in accordance with whether it is experiencing happiness and so on. Because of that, it is improper for the self to be static indeed while it can experience being happy and so on. But if, according to you Samkhyas, the self or person which has a nature of consciousness is static and permanent, then its needing to rely on cognitive sensors for the action of cognizing objects becomes contrary to this. If fire were static and permanent, its reliance on fuel in order to burn would not be meaningful. As long as there is substantially existent potential for awareness, which is not different from the static person or self, and which has the function of causing the person to have cognitions, it will never fluctuate from doing this until the person disintegrates. But as you assert that the person exists statically forever, it is unreasonable to say its cognitions ever cease to exist. You see the person or self as sometimes in the sphere of having the potential for having cognitions, and at others actually having cognitions. Because this is like iron sometimes being in a molten state and at other times not, the person becomes something that changes in aspect. Now suppose, as you Nyayikas say, that the person or self is the size of a particle, and its having consciousness is due to its relying on merely being conjoined with a physical mind particle, and also that the person is vast and as all-pervasive as space. Well then, because the vast majority of the infinite self is not conjoined with this mind particle, it would appear as though its essential nature could not be one that would allow for having consciousness. If the self existed as static, partless, and pervasive to everyone, why shouldn't you, through the self in someone else, conceive of him as me? It's unreasonable to say it's because your very self, although present in someone else, is obscured by his very self, since then the self would have parts and not be single. Any views, such as those of the Samkhyas, that assert primal matter with an equal proportion of the three constituent qualities, namely the principles of happiness, suffering, and indifference, as being creator of all manifestations of these, and yet not having consciousness of any of these aspects, have no difference whatsoever from those of madmen. What could be more unreasonable than for primal matter, as a balance of these three constituent qualities, to create all aspects such as houses and so on, and yet not be conscious of them as the conscious experiencer of the fruits of its actions. A self, as asserted by you Vaisheshikas, that has actions cannot also be static, and also one that extends to all times and places cannot have actions such as coming and going. Thus your assertions about it are self-contradictory. Further, a self that did not have actions would be tantamount to its being non-existent. Therefore, why not rejoice in the fact that there is no truly existent self? Some, such as you Vaisheshikas and Samkhyas, see the self as extending in everyone. Some, such as you Jains, observe the person to be merely the same size as each individual's body, while some, such as you Nyayayakas, perceive the person to be merely a particle. But those with discriminating awareness see it as non-truly existent, since if it truly existed, everyone should validly see it the same. Where can there be harm for a self that is static and permanent, and where can there be liberation for what cannot be harmed? Therefore, liberation is unreasonable for anyone whose self is static and permanent. If there actually existed what is known as a truly existent self, it would be unreasonable to think that there was no such self, and it would indeed be a lie to say that you could pass beyond sorrow into nirvana from a definite understanding of the facts of reality, namely the voidness of the self. But suppose you say that although there is no truly existent self in recurring samsaric existence, yet the liberated self has truly established existence. Well then, if the liberated self were truly existent, it could not have been non-truly existent before. This is because whatever is seen concerning a self that does not possess any relation with anything else is explained as being its self-nature, whether liberated or not. If non-staticness or impermanence meant that things discontinue completely after their first moment, then how could there still be grass and so on? If this absurd position were true, there wouldn't be any naivety occurring in anyone, since being non-static, it too would have disappeared after its first moment. Even if a static, truly existent self existed, it should produce things all by itself. But, as its bodily form can be seen to arise from numerous other conditions being assembled, can be seen to abide from others continuing to support it, and can be seen to disintegrate from others no longer being present, therefore, it can be seen that such a static and permanent self does not exist at all. Just as a functional sprout arises from a functional seed, likewise all non-static phenomena are produced from non-static causes, not from a static self. In short, because functional phenomena come about from them, causes do not become discontinuous, as you nihilists would assert. And because functional phenomena become annulled once they have produced an effect, causes do not become static and permanent, as you eternalists would assert.